Good morning, everyone. Hey, that was nice. It's always nice to get a good morning, isn't it? We're going to be looking at the servant king this morning. And we're going to be reflecting on what that means for us and what it means for how we should behave and the culture we should have. But I just want to read, just before we look at that, I just want to read a little bit from the prayer of Jesus in John 17. And it says this from verse 20 of John 17. My prayer is not for them alone, meaning the disciples were already there. He's talking about people like us in the future now. I pray not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. Have you ever reflected for a bit on your relationship with the Father, Son and Holy Spirit and let it sink in? Because in the Bible it says that we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That means you're a son of the King, male or female, you're a son or daughter. Son can be positional in the times of Christ. Just to reflect on that and let that sink in for a minute. You can walk down the street and go, I'm the son of the King. Because that's who you are. And it's not an arrogant thing. It's a thing of humility. But as we look at the servant king today and reflect on that and reflect on the character and reflect on the culture, you might say, of that, it's just important to remember who we are. We're not just another person. We're somebody that Jesus died on the cross for specifically. That God loved me. God loves you personally. It's a very personal thing. We can come in a big group. I don't know the largest group of Christians you've ever been in, but I've been in some quite large groups over the years. And you can look in a big group and you can feel lost in a big group. But you're never lost in Him. Because He knows you by name. Always amazes me that He knows everyone by name. And what does it say? He even knows the amount of hairs on your head. But I'm making it a little bit easy for Him as I get older. I just want us to think about that first and foremost, where you stand and who you are. And how you walk and what authority you have. An authority, we can think of authority as a big, powerful thing, like somebody with a big stick hitting us. Now, when we look at this passage, you realise that's not the type of authority he's talking about. But we have authority. But let's reflect, just before we do the first reading, let's reflect on what it means to be a servant or to serve. Now, I can remember talking with either Gran, who used to be in service. Remember many, many years ago, if you've ever watched Downton Abbey, or any upstairs, downstairs, I'm going back a little bit in history with that one. But there was the upstairs and there was the downstairs. There were people who were in service and the people they served. And it was always everyone's aspiration to be more upstairs than downstairs. And in the culture we have in the West and in other places, we have a culture called the class system. Upper class, middle class, lower class, and down there. But in other places, they have a culture called the caste system, which is fairly similar. In other places, you'll have tribal systems, which will be fairly similar. There's a hierarchy, the very important people, the less important people, the less important people, and the people we ignore. And that's how it happens at times. But you see, sometimes in our thinking, we see service and being a servant as low down. But that's the world's thinking. And it's good just to ask ourselves the question, how do we view service or servers? Do we still have a little bit of a leftover from upstairs, downstairs? From a caste system, a class system, a tribal system, depending what culture we're from. How do we see it? Because, God never designed it that way. When you stop and think, the kingdom seems to turn everything upside down But the kingdom actually doesn't turn it upside down. The kingdom puts it in the right order. And in the kingdom of God, sometimes it can look like it's been upside down. We can compare the world's way and God's way and they look different. But the kingdom puts things in the right order. And when we start to live in the right order, we start to view things in the right order, we start to have the right attitude in the right order of the kingdom, guess what? We get blessed. And we are a blessing to others. We're going to look at two stories. We're going to look at the first story of a lady who came to Jesus and asked if her sons could sit to the left or right of him in the kingdom. And you could think, cheeky woman. But I want to look at it a little bit closer and examine where her heart was, what she was asking for, and Jesus' response to them. And then there's another story, which if you've been at church over in Easter time, you've probably heard the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And we're going to reflect on that and what can we learn about service, about people who serve others. And if we serve others, we take care of others' needs. When you think about the servant king, when he died on the cross for you, he was taking care of a need you had to be back in the family of God, but you couldn't get there in your own strength. He had to make a way. He served, and we'll reflect on how Jesus served and what can we learn from that. But let's first of all, let's read from Matthew 20, starting at verse 20. And this mother's request. And it reads like this. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeled down and asked a favour of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their higher officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to serve but to serve, and gave his life a ransom for many. Guess who got tongue-tied on those service and serve then? But look at this story. Verse 20. Now the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus and kneeling down asked for a favour of him. Notice this, how did she come? Because we can think the cheeky things she's going to ask and sit to the left or the right of Jesus in the kingdom. In other words, the two most important positions in that day and age, you'll sit to the right, you're the most important, to the left, you're the next important. She's asking that. But notice how she came to Jesus. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down. If you kneel down before somebody, you're showing reverence. I'm not getting all the way down. I might not get all the way back up. You're showing reverence. You're showing honour. You're showing respect in the right way. She's not coming bullshit. She's coming in humility. She's got a plea for her lads. And these are the two lads who used to be called the sons of thunder, because they could argue like anyone else, and they probably had a little tussle and a push as well, knowing those two. But that's what they were like. But she's coming at this point asking for her sons, but she is showing humility as she asks. There's an indicator of where the ask is coming from. She's showing humility. He goes on to say, she kneels down and asks a favour of him. What is it you want? He asks. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and another at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to him. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. That's something, isn't it? Notice that last sentence. Jesus says, can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? And they said, we can. You might think, that's a bit cocky. But look at their story. Look at their journey. Look at what these two guys did. Let's just look at Matthew 17 very quickly. Matthew 17, 1 to 3. This is just a few days before. This is where they've been with Jesus. Think about this, Matthew 17, 1 to 3. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Where did he take them? And led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. These two young lads, have actually been in the most holiest of settings with Christ, where he's showing his true glory. And Moses and Elijah come and talk with him. Peter's there with them as well. You know what Peter's like. Can I build you some work? Can we build some huts? Can we stay here? Can we stay in this really special place? Well, that's what John's experienced. That's what James has experienced. So when Jesus says, can you drink this cup the same as me? You're not talking about people who don't know much. You're talking with John, was the one he said of John, the one who Jesus loved. The one who was close to Jesus, who knew not everything, but he knew a lot. He'd experienced stuff. He'd seen Jesus in his transformed state. And he's then saying, yes, I can do it. Now, when I read this, I'm thinking, he's not thinking in his own strength. He's not thinking, I'm John, I'm really hard, I can cope with anything. What he's thinking is, I'm John, I'm with Christ. If I can be close to him, I can go through it. I don't see an arrogance in his reply. I see a humility in his reply and a reliance on Christ. Because if you watch the rest of the story, very soon after this, Jesus is going to go to the cross. Who is the only disciple who's at the cross? In John 19, verses 25 and 27, it reads like this. Near the cross stood Jesus' mother. Jesus on the cross is looking down at his mum. Stood his mother. His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, his disciple took her home. John never ran away. John stayed with Christ in his eyeline, in his sight, while he was dying on the cross. And at that point, Jesus asked John to look after his mom. In that culture, that is one of the greatest things you can ask of somebody else. But that meant what he was asking him is, will you serve my mum? Will you care for my mum for the rest of her life? Will you walk in an act of service? Jesus has mirrored and shown the servant king in the way he's lived his life. And then John said, I can drink that cup. And now he's asking him to follow him in that line. You know, when you see the request from the mother asking Jesus, can my two sons sit one to the left and one to the right of you? What strikes me about that request is the fact that she wanted her sons to be near Christ. Her desire, she goes and puts herself in an awkward position. She would have probably known Peter and the rest would have had a good moan about it. Because Peter would have something to say about most things when you see his character. But she was willing to make herself vulnerable and humble herself for her kids to be close to Christ. Here's a question. What's your heart? If you have children, what's your heart for your children? Are you willing, as she did, to get on your knees and humble yourself for your kids? You may not have children. What's your heart for yourself, whether you have children or not? What is your heart for yourself? Are you prepared to come and humble yourself? Are you prepared to pursue Jesus? To pursue and to ask to be closer to Jesus. That's what she was asking. Jesus then goes on to say to them, from verse 24, when the 10 heard this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know the rules of the Gentiles, Lord, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. In other words, saying, look how the Romans treat others. Because that was the occupying force at the time. He's saying, look how they treat others. Look how the ones at the top treat the servants and the slaves. Look at that, what's going on there. Then he goes and says, not so with you. Well, don't copy their behaviour. The prominent people group in the world at that time, especially across Europe, was the Romans. And Jesus is saying, do not copy their behaviour. Not so with you. Don't behave like that. That's not my kingdom way. That's a worldly kingdom way. I'm going to tell you my kingdom way. Whoever wants to be great amongst you must be your servant. That turns the world on its head, but it actually turns the world the right way up. So you've got to be a servant. We're going to look at this in the next reading in a minute. You must be a servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Think about that. What's a slave? Somebody who is owned by someone else. In other words, other people are going to have a right. I'm going to have rights with you. Other people are going to be able to call on you. And you need to answer them. You know, when people go into leadership and ultimate leadership, you know, sometimes we can see leaders who want to tell everyone what to do. In a way, a leader can pass on wisdom. I'm not saying they should tell, but they can pass on wisdom that will help people know what to do. But they also have the call of the people under their leadership to call on them and to ask them for help. They're not autonomous from everyone else. And then Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to be a ransom for many. We're going to open that a bit more in the next reading we're going to do in a second. But when Jesus came, he didn't came as king to sit there so everyone could tell him how great he was and bring him gifts and all the rest of it. Now, do we worship Jesus? Yes, and it's right we worship Jesus. But he came to serve. And in the next reading we're going to do in a second, you'll see how that opens up. He came to serve. He came to put himself in your place to do something you couldn't do for yourself. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? For me to serve means I put myself in somebody else's place and I'm going to do something for them that maybe they can't do for themselves. I'm going to pay that price. That's what Christ did. And Christ is telling the rest of them, this is the standards. This is where we're up to. This is how I want you to be. Remember the first prayer we read at the very start? I in them and you in me. May they be in us that the world may know. You see, if we get our culture wrong and we start to be the boss rather than the boss who serves, who looks out for the needs of others, who cares for the sheep that have wandered off, if you want to put it in that analogy, who actually feels for people and wants to be there for people. Has that person got to look after himself as well? Yes, at times you've got to look after yourself, but are you there to serve? Are you there to see people who are in need and step into that area of need and do what they can't do for themselves? That's the model of Jesus. Here in John 13, here's another story. In John 13, it says this. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 17. This is at the Passover. This is at the meal just before Jesus would be arrested. It was just before Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and to go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. Think about that for a second. There's no words in the Bible there just to make it sound nice. They're there for a reason. He loved them to the end. Where did he love them to? The cross. He loved them willingly to serve to pay the price. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew the Father had put all things under his power. Stop there for a second. What had Jesus got? All things under his power. There has never been a man, because Jesus was God incarnate, God in man's body. There has never been another man as powerful as Jesus Christ. Because he says there, God had put everything under his power. He goes on to say, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was around him. Think about that for a minute. He sat at this pre-Passover meal. You know something started to happen. Just a little bit earlier, Zebedee's wife is asking my sons to sit to the right and left of you. All that's happened. Jesus explained. And Jesus then gets up from the meal. They would have been probably reclining on the floor. He gets up from the meal. He walks across. He takes off his robes and his outer layers of clothes. He wraps a towel around his waist. He gets a bowl that the servants would carry. You notice that other times in the Bible, they were like, who's going to wash the feet? Because that's the lowest of jobs. He gets a bowl. He pours from the pitcher water into the bowl. And he takes it to the first person. And he washes the feet. Imagine everyone else in that room is like going, what is he doing? Why is he doing this? He goes to the next person and washes their feet. And so it starts to go on round the room. Him washing feet. The job that was the lowest in society, really, foot washing. When they come in from the dusty, dirty rolls with sweaty feet in the sandals because it was hot. But he started to do it. But notice this, he's taking off his outer layers of clothes as well. You won't get a rich, wealthy person who wanted to flaunt themselves taking off their outer layers of clothes so they could wash feet. They're keeping the clothes on because they look good. And they look impressive. Jesus made himself look like a servant as he did that. He didn't just act like a servant. His dress was that of a servant. And he was going to serve, and he was going to wash feet because he was teaching a lesson. Not just by his words, but by his actions. And he was teaching a lesson of how we should be willing to treat one another. That if I'm not willing to humble myself as Christ did, if I'm not willing to do something for somebody else as Christ did, am I really in Christ? Goes on to say in the passage, from verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter. Peter was always quick on the draw. But actually, a lot of us will be like that. No, I don't need that. You're not doing that for me. I don't want anyone looking at me. I don't want to feel humbled. I don't want to feel like, well, I don't want to accept that Christ loves me that much. That he would do that for me. All different emotions are going through Peter at that point, and he starts to resist. And Jesus says this to him. Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Whoa. Unless you're willing to accept me as a servant king, unless you are willing to see the change of culture I bring, that the kingdom brings, unless you're at that point, you can't have any part in me. Unless you're willing to serve and be served, because we can all serve, but we can all be served. Because if none of us want to be served, no one can serve. And you suddenly, Peter's son going, "Hold on, I want to be part of Jesus. I'm going to be going with Jesus. I'm one with Jesus." And he says this, for he knew, he said this, Simon Peter said, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. So he went round them all. There was not one person in that room who didn't have the best looking feet by the end and the cleanest feet, because he served all of them. And then he came back. Notice this. What does he do then? He puts his clothes back on. So at that point, he's not dressed like a servant. He's dressed like who he is. And it goes on to say this. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am." And that is what I am. So you call me teacher. The Hebrew word for teacher is rabbi. You call me rabbi. If you don't just go to hear a rabbi, you watch what they do and you follow their actions and you recopy them. If you are under a rabbi in Jewish culture, you listen to them, you eat with them, you share a home with them, you follow them, you copy them. You go, "That's what a rabbi does, I'm going to do that." So he's saying to him, "You call me teacher, you call me rabbi, copy me. Be like me. Be servant-hearted." And it says, you call me teacher and Lord. There's an old sermon saying that good people used to say that. He said, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So you call me Lord. In other words, I have full control. I have full authority. and rightly so. See, Jesus is not saying, I'm going to serve you, so I'm going to be nothing. What he's actually saying, I am his teacher. I am the Lord, but I'm going to serve. And it's a contradiction in even in their way of thinking, what Jesus is saying, because it doesn't add up. But that's how the kingdom works. And that's how Jesus works. And he goes on to say, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now, I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Ask you a question. I don't mean this literally. I mean this by another action. Whose feet are you going to wash this week? Are you going to have your eyes and ears open this week for whose feet you should be washing? Whose situation you should be stepping in as a servant? Not thinking that's a bit below me, else I would have done it. No, no, no. Nothing's below you. And he goes on to say, very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent me. In other words, no one who follows me is greater than me, so you should serve. No matter what rank you get to, no matter what people say about you, no matter how people perceive you to be, you should serve. And you should be looking out for others and caring for others. Then it goes on to say, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. What are you going to get if you do them? Blessed. I don't know about you. I like being blessed. Being blessed means I get more of God and more of Him in my life. When I get a blessing from God, I get a gift from God that enhances my life. So if I want to be blessed, I've got to walk as a servant. I might be the son of a king. I don't even have the name. But I might be the son of the king. But you've got to be blessed. You've got to be a servant. So I need to be looking out for who I can help. For who I can minister to. For who I can be a blessing to. Because I'm giving the blessing out, I get blessed back. And when you read this and you look at them, and in the future we're going to be looking at the kingdom a bit more. But you look at this. It's a change of culture. The world says, I'm boss, I'll tell you how high to jump. That's a worldly view of being the boss. I can tell you what to do and how high to jump. No, no. The kingdom view of being responsible is this. And having responsibilities and having authority is this. The kingdom view is this. How can I help you? How can I bless you? How can I help you become all that you can be? Can I wash your feet? Can I pay for your meal? Can I feed you? Can I clothe you? Can I help you? You remember when Jesus, just finish you with this, Jesus met a man called Legion who had many spirits. Notice this, it says at the end of that story, after he was healed, that he was clothed and in his right mind. I should ask the question, who do you think bought him in the clothes? He didn't have a spare wardrobe. Yeah, who do you think bought him the clothes? When I read that, I think Jesus did. I think he called the treasurer. Jesus had the treasurer. Gave him some clothes. Bless him. Look after him. Minister to him. You know, when you read these two stories and bringing this talk to a close now, you read these two stories and you go, what a privilege it is to serve. What a privilege it is to serve. And notice this. It says of Jesus, he only ever did what the Father would do. He only ever said what the Father would say. Jesus served his Father, and he served his Father because his Father loved us and sent him into the world in John 3:16. Because his Father loved us, he then served us. Why? He loved his Father. Proof of that, two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. And I'll just leave that there to finish with, to reflect on. And ask a question. What are you going to do this week? How are you going to walk this week? How are you going to talk to people this week? How are you going to show to people this week? Let's be people who serve each other and get a blessing. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the life of Christ and the way Jesus served, the way he took that towel and took his robes off so he can clean the feet. The fact he was willing to say, I will do what humanly speaking is the lowest thing, because I know I'm here not just to rule in authority, not just to be the rabbi, not just to be Lord, but I'm here to be a blessing to others, so I will serve others. Help us be people who serve each other in the fellowship at Mount Chapel and serve others outside. And reflecting on Zebedee's wife, may we be people who, if we have children, may we have people who desire for our children to be close to you and pursue their closeness to you in our prayers and in our actions. And may we pursue for ourselves to be close to you. Father, may we serve the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength as we love him. And may we serve our neighbour as we love them, as we love ourselves and we service ourselves. In the name of Jesus. Amen.